Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few moments of inspiration and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. You know, today I wanted to talk about this article I just listened to by an everyday person such as myself. This lady is commenting on the situation that has been in the news, and I need to go back and listen to some more of it. And so I might do this as a two-part podcast. I think that that gives me the best opportunity to communicate with you and to also do a little additional research before we close out the topic. And so I'm thinking of this in terms of just an everyday person, not the person who highlighted the experience based upon how she responded to a recent life event. And so there's been some people who have been denying how someone's trauma can affect their life going forward. And there's also been people who have denied the actual trauma itself that happened to someone in their life. And so as I'm listening to this HuffPost article on how PTSD is re-triggered and the fact that it's very real, I found myself going, wow, interesting. Okay, that makes sense. But I also found myself thinking about the people who often comment on other people's lives and then even expound a theory of what someone is going through is not true or never happened. And I think that's so important because, you know, we have children who have been impacted by, you know, numerous types of traumas, and we expect them to keep going, to put it away, to ignore it and pretend that it hasn't happened. And so I don't like to get political, and I don't like to pretend I know everything that is going on. But I do think that it's important for us when we hear a situation that can actually help others explain their life or even bring knowledge to them by highlighting an article. I think it's in our best interest to help give that information a feature so that people can find additional understanding in what they're going through or what their friend or parent may be going through. And so in this article, I'm not asking you to pick a side of the political arena that you fall on. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is talking about the way trauma is looked at in our communities and our nation. And I think that anytime a person comes forward and offers their truth, that we should respect them and also look at it and see if by chance, you know, we can support that person. Now, I don't know the original person who had this traumatic experience that triggered a reaction. I don't know the person who is talking about the article. And so those are not people that I can help. But I think that by giving voice to the article, that maybe there's someone who is listening that can be helped by sharing this information. And my hope is too that if you find the podcast helpful to yourself, that you are sharing it in your family, with your friends, and even on your social media. Because my goal is to just highlight life and help us all find better ways to live, communicate, and love each other. So this article, as I said, was, me and my eyes were having a thing here. So February 8th, it came out. It's on the HuffPost Personal. And I don't want to talk about the lady who wrote the article, but I do want to say that I appreciate her giving a voice to victims all over the world. You know, the thing about trauma is that we never know how it affects someone who's going through it. We often don't realize how we are being affected when we are going through it. But the point about trauma is that it is very real, and it can occur in a numerous ways. It can show up in our lives and we not even identify with it. You know, it can show up through the death of a loved one. It can show up when someone loses their job and they fear for their ability to take care of their family. It can be someone who's homeless and they're dealing with it on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And so no one has the right to dictate how you respond to the trauma you face in your life. And I don't think it's important to highlight someone else's trauma and not even identify with your own trauma, right? Because sometimes I think people think that's safe if they say, oh, that person has trauma. Oh, did you understand that person's trauma? When I think it's safer is for you to be able to look at your own life and recognize your own trauma. And even if you don't feel comfortable speaking power to that, if you can even recognize it within yourself, sit down, write a letter, you know, pray about it, you know, whatever you need to do to acknowledge what you've been through, that's what you need to do. You don't have to identify with someone else or put yourself on blast. And you don't have to disclose what you're not comfortable telling the world. But I think that if you have been through trauma, and I really believe we all have been through trauma living in this world, that you need to give voice to what you're experiencing because it allows you to take your power back. I'm not talking about power as in the ability to have... Okay, I'm not talking about strength as means of power and ability to retaliate against the person who caused you trauma. That's never my intention. What I'm saying to you is that we have children who have been adopted. We have children who have been abandoned. We have children who have been abused and children that have been bullied. Each one of those ways that child is impacted is a form of trauma. Now, I don't know enough about it because I'm not a sociologist, but I am going to continue to research it because she mentioned what she called re-triggered PTSD. And that for me was just eye-opening. You know how you experience something, but you don't have the correct quote-unquote word to actually explain it. And so I think of it in terms of what I experience when I have the retinal issues with my eyes. And, you know, I was writing about that recently and I spoke to another recurrence where I was injured and it was when I was a little girl and a needle had went into my ankle. And at that time, I'm going to tell you so that you understand, because if you don't understand what I was doing, then you're probably lost at this moment. I was being a normal, you know, little girl playing with dolls, and sitting in the floor. And back then we had shag carpet, which was probably like, in my mind, it was like an inch or more of just long pieces of, yarn, you know, is what in my mind I'm thinking about it as now. And so I was sitting on the floor playing with this doll, making clothes. My mother is a fantastic seamstress. And so I was kind of mimicking what my mom had done around me. And as I sewed with this needle and thread with my little Barbie, my mother called me. And so I wanted to make sure I got up and ran and got to mommy really quick to see what she wanted to tell me or give me or talk about. And so I put the doll down. And as a little girl, I put the needle was in the clothing, so I set it down too. Then I jumped up and I was intending to run, but instead, somehow I ended up impaling my ankle on this needle. And all I could do was scream and jump. And so instead of me being able to run to see what my mommy was talking about, my mommy ended up running in to me to find out what I was screaming about. And I don't remember all of it because, bingo, trauma, right? So I remember just screaming and screaming and jumping on my other foot and mommy saying, okay, baby. And she took me to the hospital. When I went to the hospital, you know, they rushed me back. And I think it was one of the hospitals that, you know, years later, no, maybe it wasn't. I'm thinking it's still one of our current hospitals. I remember trying to explain through the tears what had happened. And so mommy started talking. She did just what every good mommy does. She stepped in and she, you know, explained to them what happened. And they take me back and they start to, what's the word? They start to like, give me some numbing agents, to try to stop the pain and also begun the surgery to pull the needle out. Well, fast forward. As we're there, they start cutting into my ankle. And as they cut into my ankle, you know, I'm squiggling, I'm crying. And they're like, you know, what you should, there's no problem. You have no feeling. You should still be numb. And I'm thinking, mommy, that's not true. I'm hurting. And I'm crying and they're holding me down and I'm crying. And so finally my mom just, she's superwoman. She jumps into place and she's like, wait a minute, stop. And she walks to the foot of my bed and she starts drawing these, figures on my ankle. And at the time, you know, I'm a little girl. I'm maybe 6, 7. I'm thinking at the oldest, I was 8. I'll have to ask mommy and see. But, I could tell what she was doing. I could tell them that there was a figure 8, and there was a T that she drew. Although it may have been a cross, I'm not sure at this point. But the point is, the doctors didn't believe me, the nurses didn't believe me, and everybody was wanting to hold me down to do this surgery, to pull this other half of the needle that broke off at my ankle. And so after I confirmed the items that she was drawing, the doctor reluctantly said, okay, and he gave me more medication. So do you see what I'm saying here? You know, when children are young and they are vulnerable and they're asking for our assistance, you know, we just have to jump in. It doesn't matter if you're the parent, if you are the, you know, the cousin, if you are the neighbor, it doesn't matter. I remember, walking in my neighborhood one day and a little girl was standing next to me. She was walking with her parents and something said to me, she's a little safe to the, too safe to the curb. And so as I looked over, this young child started to step off the curb and walk into the street. And I instinctively just grabbed her and pulled her back. And I was, didn't have a moment to be scared and think that her parents were going to attack me or something. I just knew that there was traffic and this baby didn't see it. Do you see my point? And so as a person who just wants to protect everyone, love everyone, and have life be good, I grabbed that child. You know, I don't even know if we spoke the same language because she was Hispanic. And the point is, that didn't matter. I just wanted to save that baby, right? And I, and in that instinct, my mind said, that's God's child. And so her parents, I don't know what they were doing. If they were talking, looking somewhere else, they looked over in enough time to see me pull her back. And thank God they knew what I was doing and didn't think I was trying to grab their child because that was not my intent. My intent was just to save that baby. I think we need to give that same type of love to everyone we meet, no matter who they are, what color they are, or what they've been through. So, as I said, I wanted to do this as a two-part. What I want to challenge you to do is to look in your own life and see where you've been affected by trauma and to see if maybe you've been triggered by a compound trauma and to also see if there are ways in your life that you can help people who are affected by PTSD and real life trauma. Because I think that if we start listening to each other, looking out for each other, and understanding each other, that we can all move forward in a better community. So I'm going to wish you well. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. Speak truth to your power and, make a difference in the world. Until we speak again, goodbye.